So it's my pleasure to be here with you today. Today I want to just kind of talk a little bit about grace. We are on this series called Grace, and we have kind of done 5 weeks of grace. We've talked about this amazing grace over 5 weeks, and we've done so much about it. And I'm sure over the 5 weeks you've heard different people speak about grace, and many of you have shared stories about how they have received grace from maybe other people. Some of them have shared how they received grace from the policeman. Some of them have shared grace how they received grace from their boss or people around them. And I'm sure every one of you, if you think about it, you've received grace from someone around you before, correct? Yes? Yeah, all of us have received grace before. And when we receive grace from an earthly figure, earthly person, can you imagine the amount of grace that God shows us in comparison to what a person shows us? And I think that the amount of gratitude we should then have towards God. And throughout this whole series, I think each of the sermons, as I sit down and as I kind of think about it and as I go back and kind of think about what's been shared, you know, each one of these, there's so much to be grateful for, there's so much to be thankful for, there's so much to be learning from and kind of impacting our life. And I hope that even after we finish this series, you will continue to meditate on this word grace and learn on the word grace and see how God's grace really impacts us in all areas of our life. I myself have been personally impacted as I think about these matters, you know, the way I worship God, the way I spend time with God, the way I live my Christian life, I think has moved a little bit. I'm not saying it's moved massively yet, but I'm in progress, okay? And I hope for all of us it's something that is still continually in progress. Now, over the past 5-6 weeks, we've done a few topics. We've done topics like abundant grace. We started with abundant grace. How God's grace towards us is not scarce. It's not limited, but it's huge. It's abundant. It's always available, you know. So I think that's one of the most powerful things that I learned in this one. We talked about justifying grace. Justifying grace speaks about how God has made us in the right standing with God. That because of what He's done, we are declared right before Him. And that we are even called His children, sons and daughters. We talked about sanctifying grace. And it talks about how we are made holy before God. We talked about enriching grace. Aaron spoke about it, about how God's riches is grace is available for us to enrich our lives. And we spoke about sufficient grace. Last week, Pastor Tim spoke about how in every situation that we face, whatever needs you have, it is more than sufficient for us. His grace will see us through. And today we talk about another part of grace, the final part of grace, in this series at least, is inviting grace. How God's grace invites us, always invites us to come into His presence. And I want to start today by jumping straight into the Bible. And as we jump into this passage of Scripture, I'll give you a bit of a background as we read this Scripture, okay? So we're going to go into Luke chapter 18. Luke was written by a guy called Luke. Very good, very good. Good answer. Yes, it was written by a guy called Luke. And it's one of the four Gospels in the New Testament. And if you look, it's very nice in the sense that there are some nice passages of parables that are put together. And this is one of those parables, this is one of those stories, if you like, that Jesus told. And He told this story to bring a lesson to the people who were listening to Him. Okay, so we're going to read this together. I hope you can read this. It's a little bit small, but we'll read this together, okay? Follow along as I read. He also told His parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Now, the first thing that you should do when you read a parable is sometimes it's good to find out who was this parable told to. And He tells us here who it's told to. It's told to a group of people. It could be anyone. They came to listen to Jesus. And He was telling this parable to a group of people that trusted in themselves, who thought that they were good, who thought that they could do the right thing, so they were right, they were holy, they were okay people, and they were righteous and treated others with contempt. That means, I'm so good, these guys are terrible. The guys around me are all terrible. How many of you are like that today? Don't put up your hand, it's okay. He was telling this to this group of people. He starts the story, he starts the parable by saying this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. In those days, they would go to the temple to pray. You can pray anywhere nowadays, but in those days, you would go to the temple and you would do the rituals and the prayers that you need to do in the temple. Those were how it was those days, not like now. And one was a Pharisee and one was a tax collector. Okay, one was a Pharisee, one was a tax collector. So let me just give you a bit of background. But what is a Pharisee? Okay, in those days, there was a group of people, a sect of people, who were called the Pharisees. And if you want to read, you can go and Google this. There were Sadducees and Pharisees and all kinds of C's. Okay, but the Pharisees were a special group of people that were very into obeying rules, regulations, and rituals. They came up with all these elaborate rituals, rules, And, you know, you couldn't do this, you have to do this. And if you do this, then you are right with God. If you don't do this, then you are not right with God. You are sinful. So they had all these rules and regulations. And if you follow them, then you are considered that, okay, you're good. So the Pharisees went around following all these rules. This group of people went around following all these rules and regulations. And because they did all this, they felt that, so I'm righteous, I'm holy. And not only that, the people around them, the people of the day also said, yeah, because these people follow all the rules, therefore they are righteous. For some reason, everybody believed that they were righteous. Everybody believed that they were holy because they followed those rules. So these were the group of Pharisees, okay? And the other group was the tax collectors. And the tax collectors worked for the Inland Revenue Department, IHDN in Malaysia. And these tax collectors are a bit different in those times. So the tax collectors, yes, they collect tax. So they will collect maybe a bridge tax, a road tax, a property tax, all kinds of taxes they will collect. And they were collecting these taxes because they had the power to collect these taxes. Who gave them the power to collect these taxes? The Romans gave them the power, the license to collect these taxes. At that time, the Romans had conquered and occupied Israel. So they were under the rule of the Romans. And so the Romans gave out licenses to tax collectors. And so you were bid, you tender to get the license to collect the tax for your area. So let's say today is modern day. I went to the government and said, let me collect tax for Petaling Jaya or for maybe Kota Damansara. And I paid maybe 10,000 ringgit to get that license. And then I can collect tax from everybody here. I say, okay, you come to Kota Damansara, you pass by, I collect toll from you. Or you live in Kota Damansara, I collect from you. So that's how it worked that time. So the tax collectors could collect tax. And when they collected tax, they can collect and they can determine how much tax to collect from you. So a lot of them, in the end, were considered dishonest because they would collect more tax than they were supposed to, or at least people thought they collected more tax than they were supposed to. So you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees, which were considered fairly well-regarded in society, holy, righteous, follow law, follow rules. And you had, you know, the common people, the middle people. And then you had the sinners, which are the criminals, the adulterers, the prostitutes. And the tax collectors were kind of like in that lower level as well, but they had a special group called the tax collectors. And they had a special group because of two things, okay? People regarded them very lowly because of two things. Number one, because first of all, they were regarded as collaborators with the Roman occupiers. You collaborate with the occupiers and the conquerors of our nation. So we look down on you. Apui. So they didn't like tax collectors at all. The second reason is because they were thought to be dishonest. A lot of them were rich because they were dishonest in collecting their taxes. When Jesus told this parable, he was trying to make a contrast. There were the Pharisees who thought that they were very holy, very righteous, and you got the tax collectors, which are considered the of society, okay, the bottom layer of society. So that's what he's trying to do. There's a contrast here. So I've told you a bit about Pharisees and tax collectors. I hope that helps you. You can go and read up more about it, but that's generally what's happening here. So Jesus said, both of them went to the temple. And so he tells us that the Pharisee, the guy who thinks he's very righteous. So he did this. He prayed. So they go to the temple and they pray. And this is how the Pharisees pray. And I think some of you, when you come to church, you pray like this. You pray like this. You say, standing by yourself, pray thus. God, I thank you that I'm not like Alex, or other men, sorry. Extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even like this, tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. How many of you pray like that this morning? Anybody? You know, so the Pharisee goes there and says, you know, oh God, I thank you. I am so right with you. I follow all your rules. I follow all your laws. I follow all your rituals. Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like that. And I'm holy and righteous before you. Okay, so this is the Pharisee standing there. Maybe not many of you, hopefully, pray like this. But I think it's not about the verbal prayer that is said, but I think that it's the mindset and the attitude that this person has, that maybe some of us have in some ways as well. I know for myself, sometimes I have said, oh, you know that guy, you're terrible. Good thing I'm not like him. Maybe I'm a bit better than him. Maybe I'm a bit more holy than him. Maybe God will be more favorable to me than him. How many of you have thought like that before? I have. I know none of you have, but I have. Okay, and you know, this is the kind of attitude that God's trying to bring out in this parable. It's a very extreme example, but God is trying to say that sometimes, isn't that how we think of ourselves? We're better than the other person. Okay, I come to church. Okay, I serve. I go for life group. I do all the things. I read my Bible. I pray. I must be better than the other fellow. I must be better than Alex. I must be better than Ivan. Maybe I'm better than Meme. You know, maybe they all don't read Bible so much. So maybe I'm a bit better, you know. Yeah, sometimes we feel that way. And God is trying to address it and say, you know, some people feel this way. And We know that if our mindset is like that, then that is one way that we stop ourselves experiencing the full grace and presence and power of God in our life. We are hindering God's work in our life. And it's the wrong mindset and it's the wrong attitude to have. Now, I'm not saying that all of us have a little bit of this. That's okay, we have a little bit of this. But God's warning us against having this kind of attitude. Okay, now let me tell you about the second one, okay? The tax collector, when he comes to the temple, he's got a completely opposite attitude. So he goes into the temple. He says that he would not even lift his eyes to heaven. He's so ashamed. He's afraid maybe people are going to look at him. Oh, what is the tax collector doing in the temple? You know, what is this guy doing in the temple? Why is he coming to pray? So he's so ashamed. He comes into the temple. He's looking down. He's not looking anywhere. He doesn't even want to see who's sitting next to the left and right on him in the temple. But he comes and he prays. And he says, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, God, I'm so terrible. Oh, God, you know, I just come to the temple. I know I need to pray, but I'm just so ashamed. I'm so timid. And see the contrast there. And yes, although perhaps the second example is better, the tax collector, probably God will give him more face than the first guy, all right, who's self-righteous. But even then, if you think about it, that hinders yourself from enjoying the presence of God, doesn't it? It's still not great. And I don't think many of you come into church this morning and you bow your head, never looking at the left and the right to the person next to you and pray this. Oh God, be merciful to me. I say, I don't look at anybody in church. None of you are like this. But in our hearts and in our mindsets maybe, some of us when we approach the creator of God, when we come into the presence of God, when we come and worship, we think that, oh God, you know, I was messed up again this week. Oh God, I'm not that great. Lah. I worship you, but I know you maybe won't grant me as much as what you do other people. Maybe your grace is, okay, lah, you'll grant me a bit of grace, you know, but I won't be as good as Aaron. I know you'll give him more. So the complete opposite of this guy. I think this parable is powerful in doing. It's showing us two things, okay, that we need to have the right mindset when we approach God. To experience the fullness of God's grace, we need to have a healthy balance of how we see God. Not too high of yourself that you're proud, neither too low of yourself that you run away from the grace of God in your life. Okay? Agree? And what I wanted to do today is I want to kind of bring out a few attitudes that we could have, a few mindsets that we could have that could drive us away, take us away from enjoying the fullness of the grace of God in our life. We talked about how God's grace is abundant. We talked about how God's grace is, wow, super, it justifies us, it sanctifies us. We talked about how God's grace enriches our life to its maximum. We talked about how God's grace is sufficient for us, but we can disqualify ourselves. We can stop ourselves from enjoying God's grace if we do not approach God's grace in the right way. And so there are a few things that I want us to watch out for today. And one thing is a religious or a legalistic attitude. What we shared about just now with the Pharisee, you know, I follow the rules, I come to church in modern day, I come to church, I go for a life group, I shake the hand of the pastor when I leave in the morning, I serve, I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. I read my Bible, I pray, I fast when it's the fasting time, I do all these things. Therefore, God should listen to me. And therefore, I also feel that I have to do it. If I don't do it, I'm afraid that God will not bless me. Or worse still, God will curse me. How many of you have that kind of attitude? Don't put up your hands. I think that when I was younger, I had a lot of that. But to be very honest, even until today, sometimes I feel that, if I don't come to prayer meeting on Tuesday, maybe my prayers don't get answered. If I don't go for a life group, I'm a bad Christian. Or if I don't come to church on Sunday, maybe God won't bless me as much. I don't know how much you have of this in your life, but I think it's a great idea for you today, even as I speak about this, to search yourself and say, Lord, do I have some of this attitude in my life? Am I following the rules of being a Christian? Am I following the rules of following Jesus? And if that's you today, it's a great chance for you to check yourself. Okay. Second one is an entitlement attitude, like the Pharisee as well. Oh, I'm so good. I think that I'm entitled to the grace of God. Yeah, you know, Jesus has done this for me, so I am entitled to it. I've earned it. I deserve it. And sometimes we approach the train of the grace of God like this. We have a low view for the unworthiness that sin does in our life, but we have a high view of how we can earn or how we have done enough so that we deserve the grace of God. Now, over the last few weeks, we've talked about how none of us deserve the grace of God. It is a gift that's given to us because of God's grace and mercy and love towards us. And I don't know how many of you do this, but some of us maybe come with an entitled attitude. I'm entitled to the grace of God, and you take the grace of God lightly. The third one that you might have is apathy. Apathy is when you take things for granted Just because God says that you can approach Him anytime, you take it lightly. You have a low perception of the greatness of God. You don't see the greatness of God. You say, yeah, God is like that. Yeah, like, I'll come to church on Sunday and I will worship Him, for example. Don't feel bad if this is you, but you come to church on Sunday and you sing the songs and you sing the songs. And sometimes you don't feel like singing, you don't sing the song, not nice. The worship leader, not nice today. The voice, not so good. The musician today, not so good, you know. So I sing softer. Or I worship a little bit lah. This song not nice, I don't sing. This song nice, I sing. And you don't have a reverence for the presence of God or the greatness of God. Or when you do your quiet time today I do a little bit lah. I just read a little bit and then, God, thank you for today. Thank you for the food that you provided for me today. Amen. That's it. So you have an apathy to the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have that in my life and I have to check myself. Autonomy. Autonomy talks about lordship. When God only becomes a part of your life, a certain part of your life. Oh, dear God, this week I'm so busy, so I'm going to kind of not go to church. I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to, maybe my quiet time will, I won't do my quiet time this week, but next week when I got more time, or maybe next month when I got more time, I'll spend time with you. Or God is only in charge of certain parts of your life. Or God is only in charge when you're in trouble. When things are good, it's okay, God. You it's okay, you stay aside. But when you're in trouble, God, you're the most important person in my life. Autonomy. You think that you yourself can achieve, and the lordship of God is in doubt in your life. The fifth one is timidity. Just like the tax collector. God, I'm not deserving of your grace. I'm okay, lah. I know maybe I do all these things, but I don't think I deserve as much grace as, say, someone else. Because I'm okay only. I'm okay, lah. I do only what is required. And you approach God with maybe a sense of cukup, enough. Or you approach God with a sense that you're ashamed of things that have happened to your life. Now, all of us have things in our life that we struggle with. I have things in my life that I struggle with. Does it cause me to be ashamed sometimes when I come into the presence of God? Yeah, it does. And all these five things, you know what? There is some truth to all of these things. That we should follow God and do what God has asked us to do. That's, you know, kind of following these things. And all of these have some truth in themselves. But if we have an unhealthy, balanced view of what God's grace, and we have a wrong mindset of this, this cuts off the fullness of grace that we're talking about in our life. We talk about how all these things God has provided for us, but if we have a wrong mindset, it cuts us off from enjoying the grace of God. And today, maybe, as we kind of talk about this today, maybe you look at this and say, God, what mindset do I have? Or what mixture of mindset do I have that maybe I need to deal with so that I can enjoy the greatness, the immensity, the fullness, the richness of God's grace in your life? Amen? And I want to do that. I am doing that. So we need to have the right mindset, because the right mindset allows us to enjoy God's grace. The right mindset talks about how grace is immense. It's a great thing, so we reverence it properly. How God sacrificed for us, so we don't take it lightly. We take it with a lot of humility. We understand that God's love is what gave God's grace towards us, so that we don't take it, that we can earn it, that we can deserve it. We look at how God desires us and invites us, so we don't have to be timid or ashamed when we come into the presence of God. So we approach God with a healthy dose, with a healthy balance in the way that we think about Him. We approach Him with reverence. We approach Him with a healthy dose of understanding grace. We approach Him with a healthy dose of humility. How many of you need that? I need that. How many of you think we should approach Him with a healthy dose of gratitude? We approach Him with a healthy dose of desire for Him. We approach Him with a healthy dose of love for God and His grace in our life. We have to approach it with a healthy mindset. Okay? And today, as we talk about this, I want to remind us today that no matter what your mindset is today, no matter what you're struggling with today, I'm glad to tell you that no matter what, God still invites you to experience Him in all His fullness. He doesn't disqualify you. He says, come on, get your mindset right. I'm here and I'm inviting you. So I feel that God still invites me despite all my mess, despite all my wrong mindsets. God says, my grace is still available for you. And God has been inviting people to experience His grace. As a matter of fact, if you read the Bible from the start to the end, God has been inviting people to experience, and He's inviting them to enjoy the grace that He has for us. All the way from Adam, all the way to Abraham, to Moses, to David, to the disciples, to even Zacchaeus, to all the tax collectors, and to us today. The Bible tells us in Revelation 3:20, it says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." That's God's constant available invitation to us to enjoy his presence, to enjoy his grace, to enjoy him, and to come and experience him. He never says, "Come to me, all ye who think you are righteous." He doesn't say, "Come to me, all those who have got yourself sorted right." He doesn't say, "Come to me, all those who have completed your one-to-one." He doesn't say, "All those who have completed your victory weekend, you can come to me." He says, "All ye, come, come. I stand at the door, and I knock, and I invite you." And that's the wonderful thing, even this week, as we talk about all the things about grace, the most important thing that we must remember is that God makes it available to every one of us, no matter where we are. Hebrews 4 says this, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." God says that we can receive his grace and approach his throne of grace with confidence. Not with timidity, not with a wrong mindset, but we can approach it with confidence because he wants us. And why can we do that? Because we have a great high priest. It says in verse 14, "Who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." So we have a God who understands us, God who knows what we are going through, and he invites us to go into his throne of grace with confidence to receive his mercy and grace in our life. And today, we can talk about grace in so many different ways. We talked about how it's abundant. I enjoy the abundant grace of God. I love the justifying grace of God. I'm so grateful for the sanctifying grace of God. I love the enriching grace of God and that it's sufficient for me and that it invites me at every part of my life. And today I want to bring just one personal application to you. There are many applications you can do this. You can take it in how you worship God. You can take it in how you see God, in how you do your daily life. But today I want to bring one application to you. If all this is true, if all this grace is available to you, and if you have the right mindset towards God, what should be and how should you approach your personal time with God? How many of you, don't put up your hands, have a personal time with God, maybe daily or at least a few times a week? I want to challenge you that if that's not part of your life today, that becomes a part of your life. And you can do it in many different ways. Speak to your leaders, we'd be happy to guide you and to share with you how you might be able to do it. But if it's not a personal part of your time today, it's not something that you put on your schedule, it's not something that you do often, I want to encourage you to look at it. Because that's how we experience the presence and the grace of God in a greater way. Are you disregarding your devotion time with God? That's autonomy, isn't it? Are you approaching God as an obligation? I need to do my personal time with God. That's a legalistic and religious approach. Are you taking it lightly? That's apathy and entitlement. Are you taking it timidly? I'm ashamed. I'm not good enough to approach a God. All this is wrong. All this is the wrong way to come and spend your personal time with God. But the right way to do it, again, is to take it with a healthy dose of, I spend my personal time in reverence for God. I spend my personal time in honor to God. I spend my personal time with God because I want to understand God and I come with the right understanding. I want to spend my personal time with God with a humility, realizing that I am humble before him. And I come with gratitude, but I also come with a desire and a love to want to spend time with God today. And I pray today that even as we end this series, one of the things that you take back with you is that you take back a desire and a right understanding to spend your personal time, your personal devotion with God. That you come and it becomes a moment, a time in your day, in your life, where it is a powerful manifestation of the presence and the grace of God in your life. That you experience the grace of God over and over and over again as you spend your personal time with God and as you have the right thinking. God invites us to enjoy his grace. He doesn't force us to enjoy his grace, but he invites us to enjoy his grace and his presence. And he says, come. And you can come because Even though he is a king, powerful, he is the greatest king of all, and he's the, you know, such a powerful figure, yet he's still your father and you are his children. And even if you are the child of the king, you are the child of the president, you are a child of the prime minister, you can always come into the presence. He will never say, no, I'm the president, don't come in and disturb me now. But Jesus invites us as his children to come and spend time with him. He's always open to us. And that's the message that I have for us today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these few weeks that we've talked about grace. So much has been covered about grace, Lord. And I think there's still so much more for us to learn about your grace. I think that you continually invite us to experience your grace. You continually invite us to experience the abundant grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant grace. You continually invite us to come and enjoy that justifying grace that sets us right before you. You continually invite us, God, to enjoy that sanctifying grace that sets us into that that place of righteousness and holiness set apart for you. You continually to come and invite us to ask you for your enriching grace, which is available to enrich our life to its fullest. And in our times of trouble, in our times when we are lacking, Lord, you invite us to enjoy your sufficient grace. God, you invite us. God, you open the door for us, and we thank you for that, Lord. Today, if any of you here, you're visiting us, we're so glad you came to visit us today. You're not a Christian today, and you came and you've heard what I've shared, and you've heard a lot of things that people have shared, and you're not sure about this grace of God. I want to tell you that this grace is also available to you. And if you want to accept this grace of God, you know, we don't want to embarrass you, we don't want to make it a big deal, but we want to know, we want to stand with you and tell you that this is available for you, and we want to give you an opportunity to say, yeah, I want to find out more. And if that's you today, no one's going to look around. Everybody's got their eyes closed. If you put up your hand today and tell God, yeah, I want to know more about you. I want to receive you in my life. I just want to give you that opportunity so that at the end of today, one of us can come and just have a chat with you and maybe get to know you better. So if that's you today, I want to count to three. As I count to three, I want to invite you to lift your hands that says, God, I want to know more about God, or I want to accept this God of great grace in my life. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. For the rest of us today, this grace is available for you. I'm not sure as we speak there, just so many thoughts that could be flying around today, but I'm sure that the Holy Spirit has got one thought for you at least. And whatever that one thought is for you today, would you say, Holy Spirit, I want to work on that. Holy Spirit, I want to receive the fullness of God's grace in my life. I want to experience it. For some of you, it's experiencing it in your personal time. For some of you, it's experiencing it in your way you worship God or you see God. But for those of you who have neglected your personal time, or your personal time isn't what it's supposed to be, would you take that time today and say, Holy Spirit, I want to work. I want to work on my personal time because I want to honor you in my personal time with you, Lord. And some of you need to say, God, I'm sorry that I messed up in my personal time. I'm sorry that I messed up in how I've seen you. Would you forgive me, Lord, that I've not recognized you as the Lord of my life? I've not recognized you as the King of my life. God, I want to experience you. I want to experience those of you who know this chorus of this song, I want to invite you to sing it with me. Those of you who don't know, it's okay, just enjoy the chorus of this song and allow it to be our final response as we close this series. Because it's all about how we worship God in our life.
To the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, but it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made, but it's all about you. It's all about you,
one last
Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Father God, as we end this series on grace, let us be reminded that grace, that was presented to us, that we are invited to, all just points back to you and our relationship with you, Lord. So today, God, we come with a heart wanting to receive your invitation to be in a closer, intimate, right relationship with you. Help us, God, to not make it about us or anything else, but it's about you. In the mighty, wonderful, loving, powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If there's anything that we can pray for you at this time, you know, the leaders will be right in the front here. And if you need us to pray with you, just come up to the front. We'll be happy to pray with you. If not, God bless you and have a great week ahead. Service is over. God bless you.